Happy to have you here this morning. If you guys would like to stand, we'll get started with our time of worship.
My whole life is filled. My whole alive.
Amen.
Show me who you are.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. If you guys would like to just take a minute or so to greet one another as Pastor Jake comes up.
So I don't know if you could smell, but we have pulled pork cooking right now. It's going to be ready for you after the service. There's cotton candy. For our live wires, we do have a bouncy slide for you. We have a photo booth as you come in for you to take a picture of you and whoever. This is our, we call it our Back to Church Sunday. And that's not to say that you shouldn't be in church during the summertime, but we recognize in the Northwest that, we live in the most beautiful place in the summer. And so this is our way to say it's time to get back into the normal rhythms of church life. And so here it is. We're going to eat. We're going to have fun. We want you to slow down before you leave and connect with your brothers and sisters in this church. So today we are in Romans chapter 15. We're going to be there for the next 3 weeks. And as you're turning there, let me say, if you are a parent and if you have all the answers, do not attend Mike and Amy's upcoming parenting class. But if you struggle with parenting, with discipline, how to disciple your children in a way that nurtures them, and you want a community of encouragement, inspiration, and wisdom, please consider signing up for that class. It's coming up very shortly. You can let us know on the Connect cards, and I think we might have a sign-up sheet downstairs. So today, we begin a series, and I think the series is going to have a lot of practical applications. But there's one specific application that we are asking everyone here to embrace. And I mean everyone. If you are a guest or an occasional attender or maybe a member, whatever the case may be, we have a big ask of you. And so let me tell you the ask in advance, and we'll give you some details. And this is what this entire service or the series is all about. Here's the ask. We have about, I think the last time I checked, 40 host homes that are waiting for you to respond to the invitation to attend a mystery meal. It's a mystery lunch, and what makes it a mystery is that you will not know who's attending that meal until you get there. It's going to be held on October 8th and 15th, so we would like for you to select one or the other. It's going to be a luncheon from 1 to 3. We want you to respond, everyone in this church to respond, to show up to one of these mystery lunches. You see, I think Scripture teaches that of all the organizations in the world that should kill it in the area of hospitality, the church should be at the top. I think we ought to showcase the heart of God that has doors wider than the world. Romans 12:13 says this, show hospitality. Specifically, seek it, Paul says. Make it a priority in your midst. In 1 Peter, it says, showcase hospitality to one another. In other words, make it a priority. And that word in the Greek, I think, is very descriptive, and it's helpful for understanding how we move this church forward. Look at the screen. Here's the Greek word. It's philoxenia. I think we have it on the next slide. This is the word translated hospitality. And it comes from two derivative words. One is the word philos, from which we get love, and the other word is xenos. You've heard of xenophobia, from where we get the word stranger. And so the word hospitality literally means to love the stranger. To love the stranger, and specifically when you see the usage of this word throughout the New Testament, it almost always refers to loving the stranger in your local church. Look around right now. Just take a look at the people around you. Don't stare, okay? Don't lock eyes. But seriously, just take a survey. How many people in this room are a stranger to you? Yeah, you've seen their face before, and you might even know their name, but you really don't know them. You have no connection with them. And I'm not saying that we are capable of having connections with everyone in this church, but I bet you anything, we can have connections with more. And the Bible says, as far as it depends upon you, do not be a stranger among your brothers and your sisters in your local church. Love the stranger that is among you. Now, some of you are still stuck on the assignment. Wait a minute. You are going to send us to someone's house that we don't know to hang out with people that we don't know. Are you serious? And the answer is yes, we are serious. Well, how are you going to arrange it? We're figuring that out. But what if they have cats? I know, I don't think people should have cats either. But if they do, we will make arrangements for that. Well, wait a minute. I'm an introvert. I have social anxiety. I'm single. I am newly divorced. What if there's not a place for me? I understand that. We get that. But the call of God upon you is to press in, to lean in. What are we going to talk about around the table? I hope it's not football and politics. To which I say, amen. What if I show up and it's someone I really don't get along with? What if I show up there and you know what? The only thing that I can bring in terms of food is Spam sandwiches and a fruitcake. And for some reason, no one ever eats that. I might be judged by the food offerings that I bring. What if I show up and I don't fit in? And what if the address that is given to me is in Matlock? What do I do then? And listen, I get it. I get all of those particular things, and I don't want to discard them. In fact, next week, we're going to focus in on the pressures of hospitality, some of the problems related to hospitality. The following week, we're going to talk about the power and the promises related to hospitality. But before we get into the details, I want to talk about the pattern of hospitality. Let's not focus it on the what. Let's focus in on the who, because that's what Paul does with us in Romans chapter 15. Now, some of you are saying, isn't it strange that we are in the book of Romans for the next 3 weeks, when in 3 weeks we are beginning an in-depth study in the book of Romans? Yes, it is. But can I say, and probably five of you will get this cultural reference, you can never have enough cowbell. Okay. You can never have enough of the book of Romans. And I think you're going to find the first seven verses particularly helpful, especially verse 7. And we're just going to camp out on one verse this morning. It's verse 7. That is the verse of our series, and it is our memory verse. We're going to practice this verse a little bit later on. Hear it this morning. See it this morning. See the pattern of hospitality. This is what Paul says, Romans 15, verse 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Therefore, and he's talking to a local church, he's talking about the relationships with one another, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Look at that word welcome. The English doesn't do it justice. Look at the screen. Look at the meaning of it. Welcome means to seize, to grab a hold of. to bring near, to bring into friendship, to bring into your heart. It's used in the book of Acts of Aquila and Priscilla tracking down Apollos, who is preaching the gospel, but it's not accurate. And so they track him down, they seek him, and they pull him in, and they teach him the gospel more accurately. That's the word, proslambano in the Greek. In the Greek Old Testament, this is what David says in Psalm 27, verse 10. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. He will take me in. That's the word, proslambano. He will exercise hospitality. He will include me. Psalm 64, verse 5. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near into your courts. There it is again. You see, what Paul is saying in verse 7 is that in the same way or manner that Christ has included you, has seized you, has grabbed a hold of you, brought you in, brought you near, turn around and do that with the brothers and sisters that are among you. Paul is saying, think about how Jesus went after you. Write down a list of the traits and qualities of that inclusion. And once you get that list down, turn around and apply it to the people in your congregation. So let's think about what the welcome of Jesus looks like. Because Paul says, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. What does that look like? And this is very simple. This is basic Bible. But I want you to think of these qualities of welcome, especially in relationship to the topic of hospitality and what we're trying to do as a church. First of all, I want you to see, as we think about the welcome of Jesus, I want you to see that his welcome is not fake. It's not forced. It's not feigned. It's genuine. God does not say, come near, but not too far. Draw near, but not too close. We've all had that experience, haven't we? Someone invited us somewhere, to a party, maybe to an event, maybe to a project. They invited you. They said you were welcome. And you showed up. And you could feel the vibe in the room, the vibe from the people. It was in the atmosphere. No one had to say it. I mean, they were trying to say that you were welcome. I mean, they were giving the social etiquette in order to, I don't know, not look terribly bad. Nevertheless, despite their verbal pronouncement of welcome, you knew that you were a stranger. This past summer, my family and I, we can only afford 1 week of a road trip every year, and that's what we do. And this year, we went to Northern California. And we stayed at 3 Airbnbs in 1 week. And listen, they all said welcome. Online, like when you go on the Airbnb site, welcome, we would love for you to be here. Our house is your house. And as we reserved, the host or the hostess would respond, you're so welcome to our house. And here are some of the amenities, and we can't wait for you to arrive. Every one of them said that. But it wasn't true. So the first place we stayed, it was a triplex, so kind of like three apartments squished together, which I think, and maybe my family can correct me, it seemed like it was in the middle of a pot plantation. No joke, and you'll hear more about that. This is Humboldt, California. Woo! People are different out there. They are really, really different out there. And what was interesting is that the host and the hostess, like the hostess was the one that was interacting with us, and she was very gregarious online, but we were there for 3 days, and every time we crossed paths with them, because they shared the next apartment over, I mean, we could see into their dining room area, every time we crossed paths, she never made eye contact. She never acknowledged that we existed. So she wouldn't look at us. Her kids, on the other hand, would not stop staring at us with grimaces and hollow eyes. Think about Children of the Corn. That was the vibe. Very scary kids. I mean, they said we were welcome, but we just felt this vibe that they really didn't mean what they said. So we're in the apartment, and we noticed these signs posted in the apartment, and we've never seen this before. It said, a fragrance-free home. So I guess no deodorant. This is Humboldt County, remember. No perfume, no cologne. But here's the irony. They were next door, and every evening, plumes of pot smoke came out of their apartment and wafted into ours. And can I tell you, at the McGee home, we do not have plumes of pot smoke emanating from our house. You see, they were into one fragrance, and it was stinky. When you came in, there was a big Buddha head that welcomed you, and there was Eastern religious motifs all around the apartments. Can I tell you, that did not feel like home to us. We had to renounce Satan every time we went in. Again, they said, welcome. And I think they meant it. And don't get me wrong, it wasn't terribly bad. But we just couldn't feel settled. Nor could we with the second place. Very different and yet very, very same. And this, you're going to judge me a little bit, and that's fine. We pull in, and I immediately get really irritated when I discover that the Airbnb is a pastoral parsonage on church property converted into an Airbnb. So the place was on a church property. The Wi-Fi was a church's Wi-Fi. In the backyard was like the meeting area. There were small events taking place. The house was really, really churchy, can I say? Really churchy. And I know you're saying, wait a minute, I thought if you are a pastor, you should be really excited on your vacation from church to go to a church. Not exciting at all. Lori couldn't even smoke her cigars on the front porch. I mean, we just couldn't relax. Do I write a sermon? Do we start a ministry? People are waving. And I'm thinking they're going to come over and pass out tracts. Again, it wasn't bad, but we just couldn't relax. That's in contrast to this third place we went to in Oak Ridge, Oregon. And that's in the middle of nowhere. And we walked into this house, and it was like built in the late 70s, early 80s. And there was no Buddha head, and there were no Thomas Kincaid paintings on the wall. Neither of that. And it wasn't too neat where you didn't want to touch things. And it wasn't too sloppy where you didn't want to touch things. It was just right. You could tell that a family was raised there and raised well there. Large couches and an inviting kitchen and a backyard that had the Willamette River there at the back for us to skip rocks over. And a garden filled with all sorts of beautiful things. Blackberries, blueberries, strawberries, peppers, oregano. And they said, have anything that you want. And I'm telling you, when they said, you are welcome, we felt it. We really felt it. This was the place where we could let our hair down. This is the place where we can wear our stretchy pants without judgment. You all have that place, don't you? There's that place where you could just relax. Look at verse 17 again. Look at what the apostle is saying. I think he's saying, I want your welcome of one another to feel like that third place, that third home. Not the first two, not pretentious, not forced, but the real thing. Paul says to us, think about how Christ welcomed you, and think about his welcome. Study the Gospels, and you will see that so many of those most powerful messages and those most powerful miracles happen in the context of a house, not in the temple, though some things happen there, but in the context of a home, at a dining room table. And what do we read in the Gospels? We read that misfits would travel and they would crowd these houses, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, all those people who you would think, if the Messiah is there, they better feel uncomfortable. And yet they came, and it felt like this third house for them. They can let down their hair, literally in some cases. They can wear their stretchy pants. At some degree, they could be who they were. And the religious leaders, as you know, they were scandalized by that. They would say things like, he eats food with sinners. How can he do that? He's a friend of tax collectors and prostitutes. How can he do that? If the Messiah comes, people ought to feel uncomfortable around him. On edge. Not letting their hair down. And yet, Jesus shows up. And I don't know how this works out. Though Jesus is completely holy and righteous, and yet these misfits, and we're in that crowd too, can feel perfectly at home. They knew we can come as we are, we can hang as we are, but they also knew we can't hang out with this man too long and stay as we are. Okay, think of the welcome that God wants us to have here. Here it is. Here's the vibe. See? See the joy pouring out of these homes in the Gospels. God wants that joy and that welcome to pour out of this house, FBC, and out of all the little houses that make up this house. Number one, his welcome is genuine. Number two, his welcome is total. It's total. When my parents would take my brothers and I to visit Grandma Jean in East LA, she lived in Highland Park, and we would go there maybe three or four times a year. Grandma Jean was a lovely lady, and I think she wanted us there, and she said she did. However, the fact that every time we arrived, she would put plastic in all of her couches and chairs and some of her furniture sent a mixed message. Think of a painter putting drop cloth on the floor and telling the grandkids, okay, stay there and go no further. For the rest of her house, it might as well have been Area 51. It was off limits. You do not go in there. And she was stern. She was harsh. I was trying to think of how many times we actually ate a meal at her dining room table. Only one time, one Thanksgiving, and for the rest of our visits, all the unwashed grandchildren would eat in the backyard. She wanted us there, but there was a mixed message. She said, come in, but she was also saying, not too far. Don't come in too far. Don't draw near too close. And because of that, it never felt like home. Again, look at verse 7. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. How does he welcome you? Well, not like that. He doesn't say, draw near, but stop at the fence. Come no further. No, he says, come further. Come to the porch. But don't stop at the porch like I tell my Jehovah's Witnesses friends. You stop here. No further. But not Christ. He brings us in to the living room, and he doesn't say, just stop at the living room, no further. He brings us to the dining room table. Jesus is God saying, you have total access to me. Jesus is heaven's door swung open. Jesus is God saying that I've unlocked all of the mansion rooms of heaven, and my house is your house. Explore, enjoy. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, heaven itself, and I'm going to take you to be with myself, and what is mine is yours. Jesus is God without the plastic covers and without the drop cloth. He is God saying, I want to share everything that I have with you, and I want you to share everything that you have with me. And verse 7 says, given that this is how Christ has welcomed us, welcome one another in a similar way. And I know that is truly radical. It is radical, and it's uncomfortable. We read about the primitive church in the book of Acts, and we see that, we see a little glimpse of it, and I don't want to idealize the church in the book of Acts, but we get a little glimpse of this hospitality, and it looks so radical, so foreign to us in the West, and I think specifically because we have reduced all of our Christian relationships to a two-hour window on a Sunday morning to a particular location, and that is the church building, and we go no further. We say to one another, stop at the fence, go no further. Maybe we invite each other to the porch, but no further. Rarely into the living room, and almost never to the dining room table. It wasn't the primitive church. Again, I don't want to idealize them, but when I read passages like the ones that I'm about to read, I want you to feel challenged. And I don't know if we'll ever get completely to where they are at, but I think we can move closer to it. Listen to what Luke says. Acts chapter 2, verse 44. It's on the screen. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing all the proceeds as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. When's the last time you've had an experience like that in church? Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said of any of the things that belonged to him that it was their own, but they had everything in common. When's the last time you've had a church like that? Acts 5, 42. And every day in the church, in the temple, and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. So much there, at the very least, I want you to see, there was no firm division, as we have now in our culture, between church and home. One led right into another. I think we could do better at that. I love the words of Max Lucado. These are powerful. He says about the early church, long before the church had pulpits and baptistries, she had kitchens and dinner tables. Even a casual reading of the New Testament unveils the house as the primary tool of the church. The primary gathering place of the church was the home. Not everyone can serve in a foreign land, lead a relief effort, or volunteer at the downtown soup kitchen. But who can't be hospitable? Do you have a front door, a table, chairs, bread and meat for sandwiches? Congratulations, you just qualified to serve in the most ancient of ministries, hospitality. Something holy happens around the dinner table that will never happen in a sanctuary. In a church auditorium, you see the backs of heads. Around the table, you see the expressions on faces. In the auditorium, one person speaks. Around the table, everyone has a voice. Church services are on the clock. Around the table, there is time to talk. Hospitality opens the door to uncommon community. It is no accident that hospitality and hospital come from the same Latin word, for they both lead to the same result, healing. When you open your door to someone, you are sending this message, you matter to me and to God. Romans 15, 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Number three, I want you to see that Jesus' welcome is also costly. What does it cost for him to bring you in, to bring you near, to take you from outside and to bring you inside? What is that price? Look at Ephesians 2 on the screen. Here it is. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, outside of the kingdom, and the kingdom of darkness have been brought near. What's the cost? By the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the dividing wall of hostility, the wall that kept us out. How does he break it down? In his flesh? Verse 15, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, it might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross. That's the price, thereby killing the hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to God's heavenly home in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer longer strangers. Think of the word hospitality, loving the stranger into a brother and into a sister. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are family members of the household of God. Did you see the cost to bring you in? The price it took for Jesus to welcome you? What was the price? Well, the passage indicates that it meant nearly bankrupting heaven itself to get you into heaven. If heaven loses Jesus, it loses everything. Heaven is not heaven without Jesus. He is the sun around which all heavenly bodies revolve around. What does it take to welcome you in? This is what Jesus does. He leaves the Father's side. He leaves the pure joy and communion with Father and Holy Spirit. He humbles himself and he travels into a dark, dark land, into the darkest place, into our dark environs, to people who are filled with darkness. And he steps right into it, and he absorbs the fullness of darkness. And from a distance, if you didn't know better, you would think heaven is about to lose Jesus. As you see all of that darkness placed on him on Calvary, heaven is about to lose Jesus. Why does Jesus do that? Why does he go into the very heart of darkness? And the answer is, according to Paul, to bring you in, to bring you near. And I love the imagery that we see all throughout the Bible, because the particular imagery that we're just pounding on in the series is that Jesus did that to bring you to God's dining room table, to a feast. It's not a coincidence that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, when he was about to step into that darkness, it's not a coincidence that Jesus tells his disciples why he was embracing that price. And he illustrates why it is he was embracing that price by having a meal. You see, that meal in the upper room, that was a foretaste of what the death of Christ was going to provide for all of us, where the death of Christ would get us to. On the night that he was betrayed, he doesn't take them into the Holy of Holies and saying, it's kind of like this. He doesn't take them into the outer courts and say, it's kind of like this. No, he says, I want you to see what I am dying for. Show up at a house. I'm making a meal. I'm bringing you to a dining room table. I'm going to wash your feet. And I'm going to serve you. And he says, and do you remember the reference? I think it's in Luke's gospel. After they finish the meal, Jesus says, I will not eat of this meal ever again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Specifically, he says that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom. Jesus says, I'm not going to eat this kind of meal until then. You see, Jesus eats. Right? He's the God-man, which means he must be really, really hungry right now. Why is he fasting? Well, he doesn't want to start without you. You know, those hunger, those grumbling sounds in his gut. I assume he has them. It's what we call thunder, by the way. Why does he endure the hunger? Because he can't stand the thought of having that meal without you, brought near, brought to him. That's what salvation is a picture like. And every time, listen, we get together as a body in this temple and from house to house, we are pre-enacting and prefiguring that ultimate meal that we will all step into. In other words, Christians, don't be satisfied in your Christian life by eating alone spiritually. Some of us were lone Christians, and it's me and Jesus, and get out of my way. Do you see, Jesus doesn't respond that way. He doesn't say, it's just me and me, right? Me and Father and Holy Spirit, and I'm going to go ahead and feast without you. He waits. Let's be the kind of church that waits. a kind of church that includes one another at the table. Welcome each other as Christ has welcomed you. One last point. This is the quickest point. So much to say. And this last point really is an elaboration on the previous point. So again, the big idea is, how has Christ welcomed us? And then let's do that with one another. And we have seen that his welcome, it is total, right? It is genuine. It is costly. And lastly, I want you to see that his welcome is tenacious. His welcome is tenacious. You all know the verse, Revelation 3:20. Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever hears my voice and opens the door, I will have a meal with you. Now, I want you to see what Jesus is doing in Revelation 3. He doesn't wait for us to go to him. He comes to us. He seeks us out. He knocks on the door. He keeps knocking on the door. He pursues us. He says, let me in so that I might let you in. Paul says, welcome each other like Christ has welcomed you. How does he welcome you? He's persistent. He goes after us. What does that look like here? That means us looking around and seeing the strangers in this congregation and saying, hey, I don't know you, but would you consider showing up to my small group? Would you consider having a cup of coffee with me? Would love to get to know you. Would you consider, I know this may sound weird, coming over for a meal? Hey, would you come to church with me? We are opening the doors to invite you in. In other words, that we would be a church that keeps knocking, keeps seeking, keeps pursuing. Jesus makes this point in this dramatic illustration. He was at a meal in a home, and one of the people at the table said, oh, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, come, for everyone or everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I must go examine them. Please have me excused. Verse 20. The other said, I bought a field. I must go check it out. Number one. Number two, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. I got to examine them. Number three, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. Whatever. Bring your wife, knucklehead. Verse 21, so the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, this is to us, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, we're ahead of you. We've already done that. And the master said this, verse 23, said to the servant, go out therefore to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come. Compel people to come in that my house may be filled. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, I don't want my people just to recline at the table with one another. Get up and invite. Go after them. I've told you guys this before. I believe that we are a very, very friendly church. We are good at that. Praise the Lord, because there are some out there that aren't. But let's not confuse friendliness with hospitality. Friendliness is glad you're here, and then you bolt. Hospitality says, hey, who are you? What's your name? What's your story? Come on in. Join us. It's seeking. It's knocking. It's inviting people in. And I believe God is moving this church in this season to not just excel at friendliness, but to excel at hospitality. And no, it won't happen overnight, but will you join us? Will you agree as a congregation with the prompting of your leadership to press forward in this direction? We believe that God will do amazing things as we press further into this church truth. Okay? Amen? All right, so what do we do? We're going to go online. We're going to go online. We're going to sign up. We prefer for you to go online, sheltonfbc.org, because it gives you a list of all those things. Am I allergic to cats, or are you allergic to cats? Do I have food sensitivities? And we'll go through all of that. There is an opportunity for you to sign downstairs if you can't use a computer very well. We will help you with that. But make it a point this week to sign up. And then lastly, we're going to have the worship team come up. And as they're coming up, we're going to practice our memory verse together. The memory verse for our series. You ready for this? In fact, let's stand up to honor God's word. The reference is wrong. It's Romans 15:7. Just saying, okay? Can we say it together? Romans 15:7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Let's try it again. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. One last time without the screen. Yeah, take it off. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Amen. Romans 15:7. Yeah, yeah.
Christ, I'm yours forever, yours.
mind. Draw me close and teach me to when I pass through death, as I enter rest, I depend on you, I depend on you for eternity. Song in the night, be my all, my treasure, my prize. I am yours forever, you're mine. Draw me close and teach me to
a great rest of the day today, and we'll see you next weekend.
And don't forget to go downstairs. There's